Well, I believe if we just lift our hands to him, we will run to the one who has the answers. Father, we submit this time to you. And we humble ourselves and we say thank you for everything that's happening in our lives. Even though we don't understand everything, we trust you by choice. We go forward by choice. And we rejoice in all that you have already taught us. Because your purpose is to change us from within. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, as we learn to understand and support each other. We lift up those that are struggling right now. We want to lift up Darlene, both Darlenes. Also, what's happening with Sammy and traveling mercies for John and Ann. Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that you have done. And we really want to say, let the favor continue to flow. Because without your favor, we will stifle. And we don't want to stifle. We want to go forward. We want to thank you that your purpose is being brought forth, that your hand is upon New England, that you are having a deep work going on in the saints so that they will comprehend that your plan and your perfect will get accomplished, including those in Canada that are just jumping onto Zoom. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. We glorify you. I want to lift up my brother and his daughter down in Florida, the difficulties and the hardships that are going on. Father, I thank you that you're lifting up a standard for every single thing that's going on in their lives. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, the praise report that I would like to give is that, let's say there's always something to be learned out of every test. And the tests will definitely be part of our lives, I believe, for many, many reasons and seasons. And when we try to run in the opposite direction, I would truly say it's not a cool thing to do. I think I see Ann and John. Yes, I do. So all of what's happening has a purpose. Approximately 3-4 o'clock this morning, he pressured to go to the word. And so without any further waiting, I want to share with you a few words that he gave me this morning. This is taken from the ancient Eastern manuscript, the Lampsa Bible, which is the original language of our Savior Jesus Christ. So the wording is a wee bit different, but I believe you'll connect the dots and you'll be glorified. It's in James chapter 1. And I would recommend that you just take in the words. James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered among the Gentiles. Greetings. My brethren, take it as a joy to you when you enter into many varied temptations. Now, at that point, I say, ouch. For you know that the trial of your faith will increase your patience. Well, sometimes you think you know, but the byproduct will prove it in the end. And let patience be a perfect work. It doesn't say do. It says, let patience be a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. Well, I'm not there yet. By faith, I'm getting there and I'm going there, but I'm not there yet. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Well, some people cry out for patience instead of wisdom. My suggestion is to make the change, because if you ask for more patience, he's going to give you more trials. But if you ask for wisdom, you might be able to avoid a few trials, I mean, and your patience will develop. Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and with grace, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Thus let it not that man suppose that he will receive anything of the Lord. So verse 7 is pretty clear. If you're not getting anywhere from the Lord, it's because you need to adjust something. Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you're questioning. Maybe you're in some fear and torment, mental games of some form. A double-minded man is unstable in all that his ways. I repeat, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother who is humble rejoice because he is exalted. Let the rich man rejoice in his humbleness, because as the flower of the grass, so shall he pass away. I can remember years ago when the Holy Spirit said to me, "Where are your enemies now?" He had taken quite a few home. And I was aware that they were removed. It's not something I could discuss at that time, because I had a lot of issues with the thought patterns that went with that. But I learned that he was serious, that he was trying to make me aware that you don't touch the anointed of God. Now, does that mean that I'm the only one that's anointed of God? No, every single one of you is anointed of God. Every one of you has been prepared by God for such a time as this. And some who are jealous of you, if you simply lift them up before the Lord, God will deal with them. And it might take a while. In my experience, it took a long time. Because as the flower of the grass, so shall he pass away. For as the sun rises with its burning heat and causes the grass to wither and the flowers to fall, its beauty to perish, so also shall the rich man fade away in the course of his life. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now, you can say ouch there, because the word endures is not comfortable. Because you see, we want to run from temptation. But how are you going to ever become an overcomer without the temptation? So again, 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Well, that crown of life won't come without the endurance of patience and temptation. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But every man, it doesn't say some, and that includes women. But every man is tempted by his own lust. He covets and is enticed. It doesn't say might be enticed. He says is enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it has matured, brings forth death. Well, I don't want that maturity. I want to believe for God's grace, not only to cover my disability and my lusts and weaknesses, but I want to be able to stand against them with the grace of God, not on my own. If I think I can do this on my own, then the cross is a real BS information. And that might be strong words, but you've got to remember he went to the cross to wipe away sin. That was his purpose. Don't make light of it, that thinking that you can clean yourself up, because you can't. Because it's going to twist, it's going to find a different path, and it'll drag you down in a different way, but it'll be the same darkness, the same form of lust. So again, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it has matured. You see, sometimes we don't see sin as a mature product. When do you realize that it has matured? It's when it's controlling you. And it's using you without your permission. Romans 7 is a perfect example of that. Paul said he couldn't control it. Why? Because he was looking at mature sin operating in him. And its byproduct is to bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of change. It is he who begot us of his own will. I repeat, it is he who begot us of his own will with the word of truth, that we should be the first fruit of his creatures. The first fruit? Yes. You mean even after 2,000 years, we're still looking at first fruits? That's what I believe. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Well, usually for me, anger used to come up when I least expected it. So think about the reality. Be slow to anger. For the wrath of a man does not bring about the righteousness of God. So don't try to straighten out somebody else, because it's not going to work. Therefore, cast away all filthiness and all multitudes of evil things, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The engrafted word has been applied by my sister Gail for weeks and months and years. And she's pressuring against darkness, and darkness tries to hit back, but it will not succeed, because her perseverance is supplied by the Lord. The minute you think you can supply your own, I feel bad for you if you think you can do that. Okay? Ask the Lord for wisdom there. Amen? Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For the wrath of a man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Therefore, cast away all filthiness and all the multitudes of evil things, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who sees his face in the mirror. For he sees himself and goes his way and forgets how he looked. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and abides in it is not merely a hearer of the word, which can be forgotten, but a doer of the word, and this man shall be blessed in his labor. Again, you will be blessed in your labor because it's work. It's not pleasing to the flesh when you and I stand against the darkness and we declare the word of the Lord. 26. If any man thinks that he ministers to God and does not control his tongue, he deceives his own heart. And this man's ministry is in vain. Hear carefully again. If any man thinks that he ministers to God and does not control his tongue, he deceives his own heart. And this man's ministry is in vain. It's wasted time. For a pure and holy ministry before God, the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keeps himself unspotted from the world. I could go on for another hour with the unspotted parts from the world, because the world is all around us. And it tries to grab onto us with thoughts, with ideas, with mental war games, and even the areas of darkness that would like to destroy you, because that's the aim of the enemy. That's his purpose. So I just want to share briefly that last Tuesday night, Irene and I were with you. When I came home, I went to the bathroom and had a surprise because the toilet was full of blood. So I landed at the ER the next morning because I could not bring about any relief. They did surgery on Thursday afternoon, late. They cauterized areas that were damaged, and I'm not going to go into the details. All I can tell you is I tasted, I experienced things that were difficult. This time, however, my wife was next to me, at least a good part of the way. So we had an opportunity to celebrate, because around, I would say, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I had been there for a couple of hours and there was no relief. So the nurse said, we're going to have to catheterize. So she brings out this item to open up to relieve me from all the pressure. And after trying at least 6, 7, maybe 10 times, she was unsuccessful, but I suffered. She went back and got another item and tried again and did unbelievable. Pain was so bad, I can't describe it, because she had the wrong item. She complained, she went out, she came back. During this process, I would say it went over for a good hour, if not more. And on the third item that she used, when it finally went through the prostate, because you can feel it, I screamed out, you've made it. And she screamed out, thank you, Jesus. My wife was an echo. In 2 seconds, she said the same thing. And of course, you can imagine what I said. So that was the first miracle. Here's the nurse, RN, screaming, thank you, Jesus. Come to find out, she was a believer with many challenges. And all I can say is, She screamed it at the top of her lungs. So we know that the prayers of the saints were producing something. I could go on about the miracles. But what I can say is that the challenge wasn't finished. It continued all night. They came to pick me up at 6:06 the following morning, where I was transferred to an area that they could deal with me at Bay State Medical Center. I'm going to hold balance because I think you've had enough. But I am able to say, thank you, Jesus, that you took care of me every step of the way. I can tell you this. I did have a sample of what Jesus tasted on the cross when he couldn't breathe because he was filled with fluid, because of blood clots in his body, because that happened to me Friday morning. I don't know when I'll share that, but I'm not ready right now. But I want you to do me a favor. All of you, put your right hand over your heart. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for every single person who has heard this message. Because the heart of our Savior is to bring salvation into every individual. He's not looking to destroy any of us. But we are called of God to experience a little bit of what he went through so that we could relate, so that we could comprehend, so that we could have compassion for one another and not judge and find fault and criticize even the nurses and the doctors. When they're doing their best, they're doing their best. But the byproduct can be difficult to go through. But I can tell you that the holy angels of our Father are looking at you right now with your hand over your heart. And your word says, Lord, that when we lay hands, you would do the healing. I don't know how much suffering each one has had. But tonight, as we lay hands on these hearts right now, I ask and decree healing of the brokenness in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. And let it be for your glory, my Lord. And I cry this word out in Jesus' name, my Messiah, my healer, my Yeshua.